Yeah, sometimes I feel like the first sponsored child of Isaac to ever graduate, so. Hey, well, it's good to be here tonight. Does anyone watch the rugby union? Barely anyone, yeah. Well, look, the only reason I bring it up is Ezra and I got the great privilege to see the Waratahs destroy the Reds last night, and just believing it's a prophetic declaration for State of Origin this week. Anyone else in that camp? We got a few New South Welshmen here. It's a beautiful thing. And already accused of being a false prophet, so off to a good start. Terrific. Well, you know, can I invite you just to do me a favour tonight and maybe take notes? I know it's a really great thing that that we can all do, and I know I've benefited a lot personally. Taking notes from some of our sermons over the years, as particularly this year actually, is God speaks and really reveals to us some of his goodness. So maybe single guys, you can also take note of the girl's number next to you as well. And you know, if you're sitting next to a pretty girl. So we're opening up to Joshua chapter 1. Take that how you will. There. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you that you're here with us tonight. And God, we pray that you'd speak to us right in the middle of whatever circumstance we're in, that you would reveal yourself to us. And we pray that your word would be vibrant, alive, and in the middle of our circumstances, Lord God. And we pray that we walk out with a greater sense of your presence tonight than we came in with. And pray these things in Jesus' name. So Joshua chapter 1, we're beginning a series on Joshua. So if you followed along, I think we're actually the third day into the reading plan, June 3 today. And so I'm going to hit up Joshua chapter 1 because it really sets up the rest of the story as we explore Joshua this month. And as you'd be aware, my name is Joshua. So this is someone who's a bit of a hero to me. And over the years, I've loved reading the book of Joshua because he's an inspiring person, someone who lived with courage and conviction. And we actually find the seeds of that in Joshua chapter 1, that this is the place where effectively it all begins, because right here, right now, where we're going to jump into the story, Moses, who's Joshua's mentor, he's died. And now Joshua has the difficult, at times arduous task of leading the people of Israel into the promises that God's already set up for them. And who would agree, that's a pretty tough task, to think you've got to lead hundreds of thousands of people into the promise that these people have been looking forward to for hundreds of years, that you're going to be the one who leads them into the fulfillment of that, at least partially. So Joshua chapter 1, I'll read part of verse 1 and then skip to verse 5 to 9. So the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "No one shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." Say to your neighbor, "Good success wherever you go." Sounds pretty good to me. Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you," for the third time, "be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Ultimately, this passage is about preparation, and we might not see that as being the case in the first instance, but God's giving Joshua the tools that he's going to need to go into the promised land, and more specifically, he's giving him the tool to be obedient. So tonight, we're talking about obedience, and it's not really, you know, a sexy subject. It's sort of, you know, who wants to be obedient? We're in a world where the world actually promotes to us being liberal. Like, it's better to be a free thinker. Do what you want. Don't do what somebody else wants. And this actually directly contradicts it, but we'll find out pretty quickly that when God's behind you, it's much better to go His way than on someone else's way, on our own way. But it begs the question, why does God ask you to be obedient? It's one that I've been considering this week, and I think we could perhaps even rephrase it and say, what is it that God seeks in your life and in my life? What is it that God is actually wanting? And the answer to that, it's rather simple, but it is confronting. He's seeking His own glory. God exists, and He created all of existence to speak of His glory. You know, we read about how the rocks will cry out and give glory to God if we don't. And we see so many examples where God is just wanting to reveal Himself and reveal His own grandeur to the people of the world. And I think about in John chapter 1, it says, and the light came into the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. That God is the light. And so right here, he's saying that he wants glory. And, you know, to skip ahead, I guess, to Jesus is, and we'll come back to Joshua in a minute, but John 17, verse 4, Jesus prays, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you have given me to do. So we can see a connection already between obedience and glory. So God, He actually gets glorified through our obedience. This shows us when it comes to the case of Joshua, who's about to lead the people of Israel into the promises, that he is seeking something very specific. He wants all people to know of His greatness, and He will use the people of Israel to make Him famous in the land. And in turn, what's the promise? That He'll make them prosper. There's an author that I've been reading. His name's Bob Goff, if you've heard of him. A few people love Bob Goff. I know anyone who went to color, they're just in love with him. He says something in his book, and that sounds like it confronts you, Steve. I wasn't at color, no. that's on the wish list. So, Bob Goff, he says in his book, and it's just a very, very small section, but he says, you know, he learned to say, it's not about you, a lot, like a lot. So he recommends saying that at least a dozen times a day when you wake up and when you go to sleep. It's not about you, it's not about you, it's not about you. Actually, I think Rick Warren in The Purpose Driven Life, he opens with that. He says, it's not about you. And for us, we're just like, what do you mean it's not about me? That doesn't really make sense. But it's true. It's about Him. And so this story, God's setting it up right at the start with Joshua to say, it's not about you. It's actually about me. And so when you're obedient, it gives glory to me. And I've got a silly little story about this, and I'll have to ask your forgiveness in advance. But grew up in a town called Orange, central New South Wales, hence supporting the Blues and all things from the motherland. And in Orange, as a 15-year-old, it's not that easy to make money. And so I did have one job where we were emptying the bins for about 10 bucks a day or 10 bucks a week or something from the school. And it was extortion. And so I was after something a bit more lucrative. And the opportunity came up to do soccer refereeing. I know Nadia is a soccer referee wherever she is. And it is more lucrative. It's easier. You've got to deal with people rather than bins. So I was after that. And to become a referee, you've got to do some training. And the training nights for this came actually really early in the season, naturally, because you want your referees for the whole season. And so I was rather unfit at the time. We'd just begun soccer training ourselves. And the soccer training actually coincided for the very first night of the referee training. So the plan was I go to the soccer fields and I would do my regular soccer training, and then Mum wouldn't pick me up at, you know, 5:30 or whenever it was normally one. And I'd stay on, and I'd do this referee's training. And unfortunately, it had consequences in this instance, because being early in the season, we did a lot of strength and conditioning work. Now, anyone who's done long-distance running might be familiar with the term runner's gut, which is, I actually have the internet definition of this, broadly defined as gastrointestinal upset. But it's safe to say that at that point, things were about to get messy. And so we've done all this strength and conditioning work, and I've got a chronic case of runner's gut. Like, it is not good. And now I've got about an hour and a half where I've got to make my way up to the clubhouse and go through referees training. So with all the strength that I could muster, I've clenched and walked up to the clubhouse, knowing that there is bathrooms there. So it'd be fine, just got to focus for a short amount of time. And got up there, and actually it was locked. The bathrooms were locked. And so panic started to kick in. And as you can imagine, so looking around, it's soccer field, so there's not a lot of tree cover. And about 100 metres away, there was this line of pine trees which separated the soccer fields from the golf course next door. And I've just decided to make a run for it. And I should have mentioned as well, I was wearing white training shorts. And so look, I don't even need to describe what happened, but it was like the anger of 1,000 exploding suns, and things were not good. So I eventually made it into the tree line, and I think Rob mentioned the temporary solution of the leaves for Adam and Eve, and it was, you know, that's not a good solution. Anyone would know. I can attest to that personally, and I had to make my way back to the clubhouse. This is before mobile phones as well. Well, I didn't have one. You know, I was, you know, not privileged like kids these days, and so had to ask someone for a mobile phone so I could call mum, and it all got resolved in about half an hour after that. But I tell you what, my body did not give me glory for about half an hour, and it did not obey as I would have liked it to obey. And the reason why I tell that story is because when there's disobedience, it doesn't give glory to the thing that is supposed to be obedient. So during that time, it's a very graphic example, but I think it's very practical as well, where my body didn't actually obey what I would have liked it to, and so it was a very unglorious time for all involved. And it's something like that when we disobey God, because we're actually made to obey Him. It's within His plan for us to be obedient. And notice how many times during that passage, actually twice, where God says you'll prosper and you'll be successful, that when we're obedient, when we have the courage to be obedient, that leads to success and that leads to prospering. If we're disobedient, actually leads to catastrophe. And we see that. We're going to see that in the coming week or two when Israel is disobedient. And it is very gruesome. So there's an encouragement there that no matter what, we should be obedient and we should meditate on God's word. Because when the people of God succeed, that's us, that's the church, God is glorified. When you succeed in your workplace, God's glorified. When you succeed in your family, God is glorified. And the prerequisite for success is obedience. You know, Joshua, as I mentioned earlier, he's a person of an incredible character. I aspire to be very much like Joshua. And he does two things which I think we can take away from. The first thing, when you write this down if you're taking notes, is that he listens. So from the very start, God said, all right, I'm speaking to you. So it's very clear that God's speaking in that circumstance. And Joshua is listening, and he must have written it down, or perhaps through oral tradition this has been passed on. And listening and faith are linked really close together. Did you know that? In Romans 10:17 it says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Our starting place begins with God. If you're struggling with your faith, start first with the word of God. God says to Joshua, meditate on it day and night. That's the word of God. The first thing that we have to do is come back to listening to what God has for us. One of the things, I've been around the traps for a while now, and I hear this question a lot from young people, and it's usually, there's a few different iterations of it. Something like, I can't hear God's voice. Or how can I know what God wants me to do? Or I don't know if I'm making the right decision for my life. And these are all really valid. I think they're great challenges. You know, we want to hear what God says. But let me begin by saying that it's actually easy to hear the voice of God. It's easy. It begins with the Word of God. So if you've got a Bible or you have a phone or you have an iPad or whatever your device is, right there you've got the Word of God ready, accessible. And God, He's actually ready, jumping out. He's excited. If you go to the Word of God, He wants to reveal something to you. It's not a question of whether He'll reveal something or not, because if you open the pages and you begin to say, all right, what God, what's your promise for me? You know, I'm struggling with this situation. It could be, you know, a situation with your family, or it could be a situation with sin, or whatever it is. You know, God's going to speak through that, through His Word. So if there's any question in your life, begin by asking God and then reading the Bible. He has a word for every situation. He has a word for every circumstance. You know, sometimes we just got to go back to the fundamentals. It's not complicated. You don't have to breathe in and out 30 times and then pause for 50 seconds and then, you know, open your eyes and then you'll know. You just go back to reading. Let's just start to do some of the fundamentals really, really well. Because we're going to understand what God's saying to us more and more quickly. I got a quick list of things that God might be asking you to do. It's not exhaustive, but it's helpful. You can't go wrong with these. The first one, turn away from sin. If you got a question about what sin is, maybe start by, you know, what makes you feel really crook or really shameful or really unwell. But God always wants us to turn away from sin. If that's jealousy, envy, lust, whatever it is. So that's number one. God will always speak to you about that, turning away from sin, because He wants your attention. Number two, forgiving someone. It says actually in 1 John that we forgive because He forgave, or we love because He loved us first. And then He actually, Jesus says throughout the Gospels that if we don't forgive, then He won't forgive us. That's how great it is that He always tells us that we need to forgive. You know, love someone. Maybe the single people, but also there's people on the street who need love. There's people in your workplace who maybe they're socially isolated. Maybe it's one of your family members. It's never going to be a bad thing if you reach out to love someone. Share your faith with someone. This is absolutely a challenging one. And Isaac spoke about it so well. Sometimes it's just taking the opportunity as it comes up. It could be as much as just offering to pray for someone, or it could be as much as including someone in the life group messages you've got. Bless someone, encourage a friend, or give to someone or something. All these things God can be speaking to you about, and plenty more. And these are all really important. God will ask more of you than you could ever imagine as you begin or continue on the path of faith. So I'd encourage you, as God says to Joshua, He says to us also, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. What's the second thing that Joshua does? He obeys. He takes action. That's the second tool. But what does that require? That requires some courage. You know, there's so many stories where somebody's had to take action, and that's a courageous thing. It's not a simple thing. It's not like waking up and getting out of bed, although in the winter morning it can be. All the uni students can put their hand up for that. And the action's actually the hardest part. You know, whether it's forgiving someone, do you know that's an incredibly courageous act for you to forgive someone? To turn away from sin, it's incredibly courageous, because sometimes sin is really, really comfortable. It really is. It'll deceive you how comfortable it is, but it'll actually be far better to leave it. I love Isaiah 55. There's the most beautiful statement of God's character there. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, making it bear and sprout, and providing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, useless, or without result, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter which I have sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." Sounds pretty good. You'll go out with joy and be led with peace. Do you know the thing that the world is missing most is peace? Ask anyone who doesn't know Jesus, you know, what are you searching for in life? And so many people are going to answer, "I just want peace." You know, "Why are you drinking so much?" I'm looking for peace. Or, you know, why are you doing that destructive behavior? And, you know, that is a promise right there that God's word is going to go out and it's going to bear fruit. And all it takes is for us to listen and obey. I'd encourage you as well. Sometimes we use fear as an escape route. Fear is actually an opportunity. If you feel fear, that probably means, especially with sharing your faith, that's something that God wants you to press into. Has anyone felt fear before? Yep. We got true people up the front, lies at the back. Yeah, has anyone felt fear? Yep, every hand. And so whenever you get that fear, I'm not talking about fear of putting your hand on the hot plate. That's a good fear. Don't put your hand on the hot plate. But if you've got a fear of reaching out to the person at work, you can know that God is with you in that moment. And he's saying, be strong and be courageous. If you've got to make a brave decision with your finances, maybe God is saying, "I want you to give to this cause," and you're just like, I just don't know if the numbers are there. Can I encourage you? Maybe pray with someone, but then step into that fear. Be strong and courageous. The people of Israel left behind comfort. They left behind, actually, in some times of their tenure in Egypt, it was good. And they even wanted to go back to their slavery because it's comfortable sometimes. But God, he's saying, be strong and courageous. Go out of it. Overcome. You know, I think we've kind of covered over, you know, listening, covered over obedience, covered over God and his plan, why he wants glory, why he wants obedience. But I think we live in difficult times. Would anyone question that? It's dark out there. Our workplaces are not easy places. Our universities are certainly not easy places. But Joshua and the Israelites, they came to the promised land as a kind of light. They, in their obedience and conquest, would reveal the glory of God throughout the nations. They were entering into dark times, and war and battle were necessary. Not easy, but necessary. A few weeks ago, a friend of mine, we'll call him James, not his real name, posted in a group chat that I was in about his work situation. James had just been fired from his job. He'd been let go. He had no more ability to make money anymore. And he was a Christian, but he's not anymore. He's walked away from his faith. But he's posted in this group chat, which is filled with guys who love Jesus and who have faith. And they reached back. We all did. We just said, you know, "We're praying for you. Pray that God will provide in your circumstance." The very next day, we get a message from James. And he says, "I've got a job, guys. God came through." Incredible. You know, no doubt there was darkness. There was darkness in being released from his job. But you, the church, myself, we are the light. We're the ones who bring the opportunity for God to break into those circumstances. And so he wants to break into every single circumstance you're in. This week, in my workplace, it's been incredibly challenging. We have lost three really, really good guys, and they've moved on for different reasons, but there's actually probably one of the lowest morales that we've had in some time, and I just love the culture at my workplace, but it really hasn't been there in the last sort of week or 2 weeks. And funnily enough, I was looking back on kind of my journaling, and about 2 months ago, I was writing out goals for the quarter. And I felt like God was saying, you know, improve the morale in your team at work. And I was like, what the heck is going on? Ever since that point, morale's gotten worse. You know, everything I try and do, things are worse. And on Wednesday, there's three other guys at my work who are Christian. And we met together before work and we prayed. And from Wednesday morning onwards, there was a total shift in the atmosphere where it went from almost despair-like to, all right, we have a future, we have a hope. And so whatever your circumstance, even if you got to meet with the one other Christian who's with you, or someone who's not even in your workplace, can I encourage you? Just pray. Just get after it, because God, he's for you. Be strong and courageous. You know, people are going to criticize you. Just be obedient anyway. Just do what God says anyway. You know, I mustn't skip over the most important part of the message. Now, I'm finishing up now, but the most important part is the person of Jesus. We've talked about Joshua. We've talked about the Old Testament and where that fits in the narrative. Jesus is 100% human, 100% God. He faced every temptation. And he can relate to the pain and suffering of the world. You know, he can relate to someone losing their job. He can relate to someone being abandoned. He can relate wherever you're at. He understands it. But the beautiful and incredible fact of Jesus coming is that he willingly died. His death and his eventual resurrection bridged the gap between humanity and God. The sin, you know, the things that make us unworthy of relationship with God, they were overcome by the obedience of Jesus. Obedience is a very powerful thing. And one man's obedience brought us into the possibility of relationship with God. If you've not given your life to Jesus, or maybe you've wandered away, if you've not experienced the peace that comes with being a child of God, there's an invitation right now. In this room, if everyone would close their eyes and bow your heads. Just want to invite you that you can have a personal relationship with God. If you feel something maybe in your heart, you feel like God's knocking, there's no pressure, there's no shame, there's no guilt here, but just if you can feel a little pulling on your heart, I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer with me, and we'll all pray it together. And God, I thank you for your goodness, the obedient act of Jesus who laid down his life and died for me. I thank you that you love me. Now I give my life to you and I trust you with all of it. I turn away from my old ways and accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my own life. Thank you for a new beginning in you. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, I invite you to come and have a chat to myself or Steve or Liz or Isaac, any one of the leaders, even the person next to you, and just catch up after the message and after the service, and we'd love to help you in your next steps to follow Jesus. And tonight, I also want to open up the invitation if you're one of those who would like to be stronger and more courageous, particularly with listening to God and being obedient, I'd just love to pray for you. I'm in that category, so I'm going to put up my hand. But if that's you, you're going to just put up your hand, and we'll pray together tonight. And just what I believe God wants to release something where he gives us strength and he gives us courage for those circumstances where we'd normally shy away. You know, I need that. I need that so much. And so would you pray with me? Father, I thank you that you are a God who has good plans for us, that your word does not go out and come back without bearing fruit. And Lord, I thank you for strength and courage. I thank you that in this room that you're emboldening your people to go out, not just this week, not just this month, not just this year, but from this day forward, to walk in your promises and walk in your truth. We thank you, Jesus, and we praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, have a blessed week, everyone. We're going to finish up there, and you know, if you want to catch up after the service, we'll be around. So, yeah. Love you.